Marty Lurie here, KNBR 6A, with Phil Nevin, our philosopher of baseball. Phil, as we head into this last month of baseball, a lot of call-ups, things like that. As a coach, what do you hope to accomplish with all the new guys coming up?
Well, I mean, a lot like what we've done the last, you know, we've had an opportunity, unfortunately, to see a lot of our younger players, and I'm sure we're going to get a bigger look at them now as the season goes on. Although we just have a few guys coming, and because of injuries and just where we're at, and but we'll get a chance to see some other faces, and you know, it gives Boach a few more options to do later in a game. We've been going with a four-man bench with our pitchers and with the extra pitcher in a bullpen, so it gives him a little more flexibility in a game. You know, you see a lot more pinch running, and you know, these games tend to go a little bit longer because you got some matchup stuff that go on with in some of these games. So it's a little bit different brand. You know, you fill out a lineup card, there's 34 names on there, and you got to study a few more pitchers is all, but you know, it's good to see some other faces here and get a good look at them.
Phil Nevin, our philosopher. A lot of people argue, it happens like every year, don't allow the rosters to expand to 40, you know, make it 28 and have a taxi squad and all that, because their team's fighting for a division and all of a sudden you got to go get 12 new players to figure out. How do you feel about it?
Well, I'm probably in that camp a little bit where it can tend to get a little bit out of hand. Last year when I was with Arizona, we played some games that just went on and on and on. You know, six, seven pitchers used in the last couple innings in some cases where, you know, it's just a complete matchup deal. But, yeah, I think there should be a little bit of a limitation somehow, you know, however we do it. You know, I haven't given it that much thought process. Honestly, I haven't, you know, been up here in a long time, but you know, we'll see how this summer goes. Maybe towards the end of the month, if you ask me that same question, we'll have better answers for you.
All right, well, we got two more weeks, two more different shows every other Friday. Phil Nevin joins us. I appreciate it. Were you ever a call-up in September?
No, I wasn't. I just happened to be there already. So, no, I was never a September call-up. But just as a call-up is, you know, for all these kids that do get called up, and any time you're told you're going to the big, it doesn't matter when, doesn't matter how, it's always exciting for these guys.
All right, Phil Nevin with us. Let's switch gears a little bit on Thursday night. One of the crazy incidents of baseball, a replay, home run, Brandon Crawford, was it a home run, wasn't it? From your viewpoint, how was everything handled, and what went on there?
Poorly, to be honest with you. You know, Mike, the crew chief, was at third. He had it right the whole time. And honestly, you know, when talking to him, I mean, he felt that it was a home run. And I just think there was some miscommunication between here and New York or whoever was in charge there. They obviously misinterpreted the rule. Because if you watch the replay clearly, and they admitted they messed it up. And, you know, just like the human side of it, nothing's going to be perfect. Don't think it makes a difference in the outcome of the game, but at the end of the day, Brandon Crawford is minus the home run that he should have, and he can always tell everybody he had one more. If he finishes with like 299 or 199 sometime, you know, then it'll make a difference.
All right. Good attitude by Phil. All right. As we head into this part of a season, pennant races kind of heat up a little bit. And I want to get your thought about Arizona, Colorado. Colorado maybe hanging on. Milwaukee breathing down their necks. Cardinals in town. It's a decent time of year. I know you're not in it, but there's things at stake, and you're playing teams with things at stake.
Yeah, I mean, a lot more fun, obviously, if you're in those games. But the fact is we will be playing meaningful games, you know, whether it doesn't have an impact on what we do, obviously, going towards the end of the season or our standing, so to speak. But, you know, heck, I mean, we have some games left against the Padres. We'd like to, you know, we don't want to finish last in the division. I think there's some guys with some pride that, you know, have that on their mind. We got to quite a bit of distance to make up there still too, but you know, it's there, attainable for us. But we are playing the games against Arizona are going to be very meaningful. The games against Colorado are going to be very meaningful, and even the games against the Dodgers, they, you know, they're for home field advantage. I think they're quite a bit of ways in front of somebody, but You know, I know where Houston's at. There's a couple teams in the American League that somehow are sneaking up on them after the Dodgers just lost a few. So, you know, towards the end of the year, those might be meaningful games as well. So, you know, I like that, that it's not decided by the All-Star game anymore, that the records will determine where they're at in the playoffs. I really like that. So all these games for them are going to mean something, because you can't sit here and tell me the Dodgers don't want home field advantage in the playoffs or in the World Series, and you can't sit here and tell me that the Diamondbacks don't want that first seed in the wild card to host that wild card game. It looks like they're going to get in, but you know, still there's a lot of baseball to play. Colorado could catch them, Milwaukee could catch them, these guys, St. Louis could catch them, Miami, who we just played. You know, all the games have meaning, and even when you're not, you know, we go to Chicago this weekend. They should have meaning for the players. You know, it's pride. You're playing for fans. You're playing for your city, and you know, you're playing the game of baseball, man. You're getting paid to come out here and compete, and the competitive nature in you should make it a meaningful day, anyways.
You're a pretty good hitter in your day. Hit a lot of home runs. What do you think of Stanton?
Well, it's pretty amazing. I mean, we got to see firsthand quite a few of them. You know, I think he hit, what, 6 or 7 against us this year. I mean, impressive. You know, the thing you get is you see a man of his stat, how big he is, able to have the plate coverage he does. Sure, he's going to strike out. Most home run hitters do, but I mean, the balls he hits are just, I mean, it reminds you of the days, you know, playing when we used to come out and watch Mark McGwire take BP. I mean, I stayed out here when the Marlins were here, and I watched Stanton hit balls off the Coke bottle and close to the glove out there, and kind of reminds you of those days a little bit. But what he does, adjustments he's made over his career, and what he's doing this year is quite phenomenal.
You played in Detroit. Detroit's been in the news a lot. Verlander's now in Houston. Justin Upton is gone. Justin Wilson is gone. All the Justins is gone. If your name was Justin, you were getting out of town. But you know Detroit baseball, and boy, that's something. They're tearing it down a little bit.
Well, you know, I not only played there, I managed in their system for 4 years as well. So a lot of those players very familiar with, and the organization, and you know, Al Avila and David Chad, who are, they're running it there. And, you know, it's just where they're at. You know, unfortunately, they weren't in a spot to go to a playoff situation, and you understand where you have these players that can bring you such valuable assets, and they're acquiring them. Where in the past, you know, when I was managing there, it was the other way around. We used our assets in the minor leagues to acquire the major league talent. It just, teams just, they do that, you know. That's just how it goes, you know. You know, you don't like to have to do it. You don't like to, I'm sure they didn't like to have to tell Justin Verlander or ask him for this trade, and you know, but that's just part of our game, and I know those men over there and the people in charge, and I know that the Detroit Tigers are going to be a force to be reckoned with here in the near future. You know, they still have, you know, quite a bit of resources there and a great fan base and a great city. They'll make that team relevant again here very soon, if not next year, to be honest with you. I mean, just because you're selling off and getting all these young prospects, they are saving a heck of a lot of money, and they'll be able to bring some guys in and make that team competitive next year.
Well, Verlander goes to Houston. It was at 12 midnight, I think, that he ended up going to Houston. Can you imagine what was going through all the machinations with the agents and everything else? And what kind of guy is Verlander?
Oh, Justin's great. I mean, he's going to be a heck of a pitcher for Houston. I mean, we talk about blockbusters. This was as blockbuster as you get. And you know, really enjoyed my time when I was with the Tigers and Justin around. I've, you know, seen him in the offseason a time or two and some golf events, and he'll be a great asset or a great addition for the Astros. He's a leader. He'll lead that staff, you know, between him and Dallas at the front end. And I'm excited to watch the playoffs this coming year with the addition with Justin there. You know, I'm a fan of his, and I'll be rooting for him, and A.J. Hinch is a friend, and I mean, the playoffs are going to be fun. They always are, and there's always stories and twists, but he's a great guy. He'll do fantastic in Houston, and you know, hopefully he gets a chance to win one here.
So I'm thinking, as you're talking, is he going to root for Houston, where he came up, or is he rooting for Detroit? I'm not sure. Where are you going?
Yeah, I just root for great playoffs. It's just good for the game, you know, and obviously the fan side of me will just want to see good baseball games. Don't really have a vested interest in any of the teams, you know. I've been around the game a little bit, you know. I'm not going to say I've been around forever. There's plenty of guys that have been around longer, but certainly have plenty of friends that are probably going to be, there's going to be a twist on each side, you know. You know, Dave Roberts in L.A., we played together, you know, we talked about Houston and AJ. I mean, you go on down the line. I mean, obviously, Washington, I played for Dusty, sure. I played for Dusty there. I played with Joe Maddon, was a bench coach when I was with Anaheim. I mean, heck, what are these other teams? Colorado, Bud Black and I are really good friends. You know, obviously, I've managed all those players over in Arizona the last few years. And, you know, obviously, those guys all have a special place in my heart. You know, and what they're doing in Arizona, it's fun to watch. And, geez, we can go on down the line. We can go through all 29 teams in the league, Marty, but, you know, all these teams that are in it and competitive, certainly I have relationships with a lot of people involved.
Well, see, I think this year maybe I see Fox in your future here. No?
No. The season's over.
That's it.
Unfortunately, we know we're going to be done on that last Sunday of the season, and I'll be hopping on my motorcycle and heading back down the coast and home. So that'll be it for me.
All right. I can see a little background here, Fox TV. I can see that coming. All right.
Unless they want to put a camera on my dashboard. Well, I think that's unsafe, though, maybe.
All right. That's one way to do it. Hey, I ran into Ryan Klesko yesterday, and we had him on the show. Nice man, of course. A tough ball player, man. This is a tough guy.
Yeah, we had a great time playing together. You know, for a few years there, you know, we always talked about wanting to be the best 3-4 combination in baseball, and we're competitive amongst ourselves, but it made us better throughout the league. We were able to enjoy going to an All-Star game together, became very close friends, still keep in touch quite a bit, even though he's on the other side of the country. When, you know, I managed in Toledo, we'd go through Gwinnett, which is right outside Atlanta, near where Rhino lives, and we spent quite a bit of time together on and off the field. And, you know, like I said, we pushed each other, worked out together in the off seasons, and good friend, great teammate. We had some special times together, and it was great seeing him yesterday.
Yeah, he's got a ranch up in Sonoma with bow hunting and all that. Come on, do you do any of that?
We were opposites as far as some of those things go. We rode a little bit. He had a Harley, and we'd take some rides together. But I tend to go towards the golf course, and he went off and did his hunting. So, no, that wasn't a side of me. I'm not a, you know, nothing against it, but no, I'm not into killing the animals.
Yeah, as I always say to Hunter Strickland, he tells me about hunting. I said, for me, growing up in Brooklyn, if I saw a squirrel, it was a big deal.
It just wasn't my thing. I tried it, but never could get into it. Just wasn't my thing. I mean, a lot of guys have fun doing things, and in the off season, that just wasn't something that got me.
All right, good to have you on as always. I enjoy this, and I hope you do too. And as we go through the season, different weeks, different things happen. Now we're looking at these little pennant races and see what goes on. And you got some new players up here too. Phil, thanks so much.
All right, Marty, thank you.
All right, more coming up, KNBR 680, the sports leader.